Thank you, Crossroads and Remnants. Appreciate that. This morning, as we take a little bit of time to ponder another challenging text, the text that we want to appreciate and the challenge of how it is going to be fulfilled. Once again, we seek the wisdom of the Lord, and we seek that wisdom in prayer. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your word given to us. We pray for that enlightenment that will help us understand what it really means to live for you, to do your will. We pray for your blessings upon us as we take time to ponder this word that we are going to read this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First, we take a look at Psalm 40 this morning, from which this message is drawn. Behold, I come to do your will. First, we need to look at the person who wrote this particular psalm in order to understand what he is talking about. Right? The first word that we understand as we look at Psalm of David is that David was king. No question about that. Here was a man with power, and here was a man with position. The challenge for him was to ask himself, what is it that you want me to do? So David thought about it, and he looked at it in verse 6, for example. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, my ears you have opened. If anybody could give an offering huge, it would be David. Did he give such offerings? Yes. When he brought in the Ark of the Lord into Jerusalem, just about the hugest offering went up to the Lord. Is it wrong to do that? Of course not. But there was something else that he knew that God wanted him to consider. And so he thought further. He said, then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. And so this became David's thought. Now, this is important for us to think about, and this is something that we need to consider very, very carefully. So we have first a personal statement as well as a prophecy. And what is a prophecy? For example, you and I would never be able to do a prophecy in any way. A prophecy was a test that God gave to the people, Isaiah 41. And he challenged all those who worship idols. Give us a true prophecy. Let it be fulfilled. And nobody could. So a prophecy became a prediction that had to be tested. Could be proven whether that prophecy is in fact a true prophecy. If it is not, then it fails. The challenge of a prophecy has got two parts. One, say it. Two, fulfill it. And that is not easy. Now, we turn over to the book of Hebrews. And in chapter 10, we have this statement. The writer of Hebrews wrote, and this is what he said. Now, this is important for us to understand. Okay, and so we read in verse 5, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. Now sometimes many people misunderstand this text. And they think that, you know, they read a Christmas story and say, well, Jesus is born in a manger, he was poor, and so therefore that blessing is being poor. There is no shred of evidence of such teachings in the scriptures. The focus is to do God's will. It has nothing to do whether you are old or you are young, or whether you are poor or you are rich, or you are in position of power and fame. It does not matter. The focus is to do God's will. That is the challenge. And this is what Jesus understood. He was not putting down sacrifices and offerings. That was what God commanded. If he went against it, he would be contradicting what the scriptures teach. Obviously, that was not the point. The point is to do things like this within the will of God. SSS4, my Sunday school class, the class said, let's do a special offering for the Myanmar pastors and all. And I'm very, very touched. Only yesterday, they wrote and they asked, Pastor, this year, can we expand our work to reach out to more villages and more cities with the Christmas message? And the answer is, yes, let's do that. How would we respond? Well, SS4 responded. And they gave 24,000 in today's offering. If we were not given the wealth, how can we help others? The focus is not how much money we have. The focus is what we do with what we have. And if we do what we give, we give what we have been given and blessed with, we do His will. Here was King David. How would he be able to lead the country if he is a poor king? How would he be able to help build the temple that Solomon will one day build if you were to take a look at his poverty? If you calculate the amount of gold and silver that David gave towards the building of the house of God, we are talking billions. Why not? This last week, I was reading and hearing a report that the person who owns good homes, better homes, just bought over Time magazine and Fortune magazine. He paid $3 billion for this. And they ask him why, since the you know, and nobody really wants to read very much but about magazines and such stuff. And he says, I have only one reason. I believe in conservatism, and I'm going to buy these influential pieces, these magazines, so that they will not spread lefties or extreme ideas. And he's good for $3 billion. It's not a question of what you have or don't have. It's not what you're being paid or what you're not paid. The challenge is to do God's will. We misunderstand. So baby Jesus was born in a manger. David, where was your baby born? Why didn't you bring a manger into the herd? Of course not. You might be charged in court. We don't do this. Is it wrong? Do we need to feel guilty if God has given to us more than what we need? There is no guilt. I want to tell you this. There is no guilt in being where you are. Casey is a doctor and a brigadier general. Is it wrong? Would he be better if he's private first class? No, it's not. Is it wrong? What is the teaching over here as we understand it? And many misunderstand this text. They think that when Jesus was born poor, that is God's blessing for him, for all of us to be poor. We miss the point. And this is something that we need to understand very, very, very clearly. How then do we know what to do? Where we are, what should we do? What are we going to do with the talents and the gifts that obviously God has blessed with? Now that is the challenge, isn't it? So if God has given you intelligence and you are all the time a student, listen, rejoice in that. Don't feel bad if your friend gets a B or a C or an F. Will it help the person you get an F in return? No, God has a will for you. He wants you to fulfill certain things in your life. Don't blame anybody. I was telling my Sunday school class today about Perpimin Patty. And she said, I don't want to look at my paper. I know the results. Anyway, she looked at it and said it was F. Then Benjamin Franklin sitting next to her and said, what did you get? He said, I got a B. I'm very happy. And then she came up with an opinion. I think it's because of my nose. I got a big nose. My teacher hates my nose. So because my teacher hates my nose, I get an F. You can blame everybody you wish, except yourself. You're still wrong. It's so easy to blame. And so she concluded, it's because of my big nose, I got an F. So Benjamin Franklin, can I look at your paper? And he looked, she gave to him and said, you pass up a blank paper. You only put your name. No, you see, that's how she confirmed. You see, because I got an F, because I got a big nose. Teachers, you know, when they made up their mind against you, it's the big nose, that's why I get an F. That's not true. Please, do not feel guilty. If this Christmas you want to buy yourself a car, go. What's wrong with a car? You don't want it? Let me know. What's wrong with getting a car? You want to buy? Please don't feel. This is not what the point is. What is God's will? That is the point. And that's what we read. I have come to do your will. How do you discover the will of God? And you discover the will of God in the scroll of your book. In other words, the scriptures. How do we understand the scriptures? And so we read in Psalm 40 and in Hebrews 10, both David and the Lord Jesus Christ paid attention to the scriptures. So I am a king. From the scriptures, he reads, I want to be a good king. So he was. From all the conquests, he amassed a lot of wealth. He became one of the most powerful, one of the most significant kings of Israel. That age is called the Golden Age. The question, the challenge is, what do you do with that? And he felt that the best answer was to be found in the scriptures. What shall I do with my life, my position, my power, my money, and everything else? That's what he did. So he began to say, so this is your will. And so David devoted himself to a number of things. You know, this is important. For example, in Psalm 40, and he said, this is what I am going to do. Verse 9, I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. And so that's what he did. You know, you yourselves know, I have not hidden the righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. This coming week, beginning tonight, we start a youth conference. And different people are asked to come and share their testimonies and to teach the Lord's word. Go ahead, be there. Tell them, God has made me successful. Tell them, God has placed me here. And I want to declare something to you. I want to declare to you God's faithfulness, God's righteousness. Talk about your faith in God. That is exactly what David did. You know, and Jesus fulfilled this very, very clearly. Now, in the lead article that I have over here in writing of this thing here, and I hope that you will take time to pay attention to some of these things here, because they are really, really instructive. Here is Jesus, and he took upon the form of man, and God gave to him a body. What should you do with it? Oh, whatever. I was reading about people who don't have very much hair, and this was their reply. And they said, this is not baldness. This is a solar panel for brain power. Wow. I thought, wow, that's really amazing. Here is another bald person. You see, God made just so many heads, the rest he covered with hair. Be bold, be beautiful. There is nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's something that you don't want to feel bad about. You see, whatever God has given to us, whatever that body may be, including spondylosis, I'm sure that Casey will understand this. He's only 44. It's okay. It doesn't matter. I had my operation done younger than that. It happens, right? And you know what? Whatever body God gives to us, I can fulfill God's will in whatever that body has been given to me. I don't have to be 100% fit. I don't have to be slim. You know, some people are born larger. Don't despise the person who is larger. You don't everybody the same slim, pencil slim position. The point of it all is none of these things. The point of it all is what is God's will. And that is what David thought over. Here I am, king. What can I do? He could write psalms. That's what he did. He could compose music. That's what he did. He was a very good organizer. That's what he did. He showed the people how to give towards God's house. That's what he did. He did it in the capacity God placed him in. Wealth, position, power, fame, whatever. His focus was to do God's will. And that's what God has given to us. Wherever God has placed you, and whatever it is, we will be happy for you, rooting for you. I think this is important, right? So we're just happy that the Lord has placed us wherever the place may be. Maybe your profession is a medical doctor. Maybe your profession is a teacher. Maybe your profession is to be an accountant or lawyer. It doesn't matter. The point of it all is to ask yourself, what is God's will? So don't look at the superficial things of life and say, oh, you're rich, therefore you're bad. Or you're poor, therefore you're useless. Either way, you don't win. It's wherever God has placed you. Why was Jesus poor then? There were reasons. There were good reasons. And they were special. There were many things the Lord did. And he taught people how to live above everything else. Now, this is important. Christ Jesus did not come to teach us about wealth or poverty. He came to teach us about how to do God's will. That is the challenge of it all. So let's take a look at how we want to do that. Is it easy to do God's will? And the answer is never. There are always parts of you that will always struggle. And so that will of God for him would end on the cross. And nearer to the cross, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done." It's always about God's will and doing it. The only guilt that we should have is we don't know God's will and we are not fulfilling it. Not how much we have or how much we don't have. We thank God for people who love enough to give. Not because of anything else, but because the word of God, the will of God can be fulfilled because we want to do that will. So this Christmas, we're going to see many more people reach with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because SSS4 gave towards it. And we're going to see that the orphanage children are going to have a very special Christmas because people give towards their needs too. The focus is doing God's will, not a question of where we are in our life. Now that is important for us. So what do? Like the Lord Jesus Christ, we read God's word, we seek him in prayer on our knees, and then we understand God's will, and then we seek to fulfill that will. There is the challenge. You see, prophecy has two parts. One part, it must be stated. The second part is compliance to make that prophecy fulfilled. And that's what we want to do. We understand the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. His focus was to do God's will. What is the meaning for us today at Christmas time? To know his will, to fulfill that will, whatever that will may be, wherever we may be, whoever we may be. All of us have just one thing to consider: God's will. Now that's a challenge for us all. Let's not lose that focus, okay? Well, let's pray together and prepare our hearts for communion. Let's remain standing as we ask God to bless us. It now be he who gave us the Holy Scriptures. Open our eyes, enlighten us to know what that will is that you've given to us to fulfill. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and his example spur us on to say, "I have come to do your will." And may the Spirit of God empower us so that as much as we have been blessed, so we will learn how to be responsible, to live for you, to use what you have given to us wisely and well, to bring joy and gladden the hearts of many, to the glory of our wonderful Savior and Lord, now and forever. Amen.